Don't touch that dial. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that hopes Democrats don't Obama-size Medicare. He's still too young to ever be seen in a four-door car. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, hello, hello. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast all over again. Coming at you from beautiful sunny Arizona on a hot summer's day in springtime. For some reason, springtime in Arizona is like summer everywhere else. So this is Doug Jones, as you just heard my Canadian nephew say. I am your Medicare expert for today, and I'm here to help you understand and feel good about the transition from Obamacare to Medicare. For most people, it turns out to be a very positive experience, and I have no doubt that that will happen for most people in our listening audience today. It is just one of those things that happens. It's a benefit of getting older. All of a sudden, you find yourself paying less for health insurance and enjoying it more. And this advice, this information, this sharing of wisdom is all sponsored or spouts from my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022. You can find that book on Amazon, or you can find it on barnesandnoble.com. On Amazon, we've got a paperback, a hardcover, a couple of other types of editions. We've got Audible, and we have the Kindle ebook version. So you can have your pick of all of the types of books there are, I believe. I'm not aware of any other types of books. And you'll find that the knowledge gained therein will make you pretty much of an expert. You can go to your friends and say, hey, ask me a Medicare question. I'll know the answer right off the top of my head, because you will be able to learn more about Medicare than almost any of your contemporaries will find out just by reading my book. At least that's what I'm told. When I wrote it, I wasn't sure it was going to be the popular source of information that it's turned out to be, but I've had so many people tell me how much they liked it that it's been very gratifying, and I'm hoping that it continues to do good for people for a long time into the future. So what do we have today? We have Randy Carson. Randy Carson is a guy that engineers this podcast so that it doesn't sound like I normally sound in the morning. It actually sounds polished and almost like somebody put some thought and effort into it. And I appreciate that, Randy. Thank you for making it look better or sound better than I could ever make it sound.
You are absolutely welcome, sir. I enjoy every minute of this because, as you know, when we first started working together, I didn't know a darn thing about Medicare. And as we have gone forward, I have learned a couple things about Medicare, one of which is, and you're not going to be surprised by this, stay away from Medicare Advantage plans.
Well, you're lucky. Your wife was smart enough to figure that out on her own. I'm sure that when she came to you and said, hey, it's time to think about Medicare, you said, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know,
I said, I can't hear you.
Oh, right. But she made some very good choices for you. You have a Medicare supplement. And a while back when you had a little stint in the hospital, your Medicare supplement stepped up and did its job for you. And it turns out that she was instrumental in getting you excellent coverage at a reasonable cost.
Yeah. And it was, I gotta tell you, Doug, I mean, people have just got to realize that your advice is the direction they want to go with it. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go buy yourself a supplement. Stay away from Advantage plans, because unless you're just really interested in getting a free toothbrush for dental care, which is okay. And what else do they give away? Free lunches.
Well, they give you a ride in a prison bus to your doctor's appointments, they say.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think you find out that that's only if you're on welfare. Are you going to get that kind of stuff that they promise on the TV ads?
No prison bus for you.
No, that's right. That's right. But I got to tell you, I feel vindicated every year when Margaret calls me up and says, here is what I discovered on comparing Randy's drugs on the government website, because we put those steps in the book for people that want to try it out for themselves. And it's a matter of taking your prescriptions that you take and the dosages you take, and whether they're generic or not, you know, you can put that information into the government website and then put in the pharmacies that you want to use to fill your prescriptions. And you may put in a lot of different pharmacies, or you may only put in a few, but you are able to see then what the most cost-effective drug plan for you for the upcoming year would be. And that's what Margaret, your wife, does every year. She and I talk on the phone, and she doesn't even tell me what your drugs are. She tells me that she's gone to the government site and she's plugged in all the variables, and here's what she came up with. And every year, every couple of years, your plan changes. Sometimes a certain plan is the most cost effective for you for the following year. And other times your drug regimen may have changed, or the plan sometimes changes and they have different drugs being having different copays, like larger or smaller copays. And so the comparison process then shows which is going to be the most cost-effective plan for the following year. And so we have that conversation once a year, and you wind up with not spending too much money for your drugs the following year. And
I thought I would point out, I definitely want to thank Doug, because he's one of the only agents that I know of that will take the time to lead you by the hand through the morass of Medicare. And the other thing that I wanted to thank him for, truthfully, is that even though I'm an IT guy and so is Margaret, you know, it's always good for us to call up Doug and say, did we do good?
And the answer is pretty much always yes, because you have some common sense. But if it wasn't yes, if you were about to make a mistake, I'd be able to head it off at the pass before any serious problems arose.
Yeah. So, everybody needs an uncle in the business, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It just happened that everybody in my family was in the business, so that may have been overkill for me. But hey, I've got a good friend in Illinois. I grew up with this guy. I met him first in 1960 when we were both in seventh grade. And he has been a good friend all of those years. And he told me something the other day that should give everybody pause. Now, he had a heart valve that stopped working like it should. So about 4 or 5 years ago, he had surgery to replace the valve. And I believe they cracked his chest and put in a mechanical valve, I think. It could have been a pig valve, but I think it was a mechanical valve. So everything went along and he was doing just fine for a while. And all of a sudden, very recently, he told me that they discovered that new valve was leaking. But the good news was that they were going to be able to correct it arthroscopically. They're going to put an instrument into a blood vessel in his groin and run that instrument up to his heart and effect the repair of the valve without him having to be cut open or anything else. They just put him to sleep, you know, so it's easier for them. He won't be rolling around on the table. So he actually went in the hospital, and the next morning they did the surgery. He went to the hospital in the morning and they did the surgical procedure and then kept him overnight for observation only. And the next morning they said, hey, go home. It looks like everything is going just fine. You feel good. We're happy with the result. So go home and enjoy your life. And so he did. And he felt better probably just because that valve was working better. He mentally had a better outlook on things. And within a couple of weeks, he received the hospital bill in the mail. And the hospital bill for that one day stay, I guess, plus the surgery, it must have been $462,000. Now, this is a hospital in Chicago. It's going to be one of the big time. Excuse me, Rand.
I think
did you know your mic is on?
I think that's the big one, Mabel. Oh, my God.
I'm coming to join you, honey. I'm coming to join you.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll let you finish that story. But so ultimately, did he have a supplemental?
Oh, God, yes.
Thank God.
Thanks to good old Uncle Dougie. He is not going to eat much of that cost at all. But I think it probably illustrates what people are going to see. I offer the opportunity for them to spend a lot of money on a very expensive Medicare supplement that is a security blanket. It has a very small deductible every year, and then it pays 100% of everything, and nobody's ever going to have any problem. So the one opportunity they have to save money is to take my advice and give serious consideration to the richer, or the, excuse me, the less rich Medicare supplement, the high deductible Plan G. The reason for that is the cost per month is so much less. The deductible is higher, but it is not outrageous, and your possibility of downside risk is very limited. So with high deductible Plan G, you're going to spend a lot less money during the course of a year. And if that goes on for year after year after year, you're going to have a lot of money saved up in your sock drawer or wherever you keep your money, under the mattress maybe. But if you have a bad year, like my friend just did, he went in for one day, $462,000. That is going to be a very limited out-of-pocket cost to him because he has high deductible Plan G. So the deal is Medicare says the first $233 he has to pay. After that, Medicare pays 80% if you're outpatient. And the hospital, it sounds like, considered that to be an outpatient procedure because they kept him overnight for observation. So the hospital did not consider him to be an inpatient user of their facility. And I believe that was going to be paid under Medicare Part B. So that means 80% of that $462,000 or whatever the hospital wanted to get would be paid for by Medicare without question. 20%, if he didn't have a Medicare supplement, would be on my friend to pay. He would have to write a check for 20% of that $462,000. Now, because he had a supplement, he had a small monthly outlay for years and years, and then here comes this big giant bill. Well, his maximum outlay for that bill was $2,400, $2,490. That was it. $462,000 minus $2,490. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me, especially since the results of his surgery were so excellent. In other words, they fixed the problem and he's back in the pink of health again. Now, here's the point I wanted to make. There are two elements of this story that I haven't seen his bills. I haven't seen his paperwork, so I don't know for sure that this is what's going on, but I am suspicious. One of those two things is that the hospitals and the doctors will send the federal government and of course, the patient, a bill that is outrageously high because it is expressed in terms that they would like to receive. I don't know how their accounting departments work, but generally speaking, a bill that comes from a doctor or a hospital to Medicare is going to be cut back. It's going to be reduced substantially. So if you go to the doctor once a year, and let's say your doctor's office visit costs $200 and your employer's plan pays 80% of that or whatever, and or you've got a deductible or whatever, they're going to be working off of that $200. If you go to the doctor and it's a bill of $200, but you're on Medicare, there is no network with Medicare. There's no prearranged fee structure. So what happens is the doctor is free to try to charge anything he wants. It can be what he would like to get if everything was going his way and he could bill all the patients $1 billion, he would bill each of them $1 billion. But when Medicare gets that bill, they're going to cut it back. They're going to reduce his charge to what is preordained by the Medicare system. So the doctor has put a code on the bills. He sends it off. It's a Medicare code, probably four digits, and it describes the nature of the visit. So if you went in for a physical exam, then the doctor's staff would put a code on that bill and send it off to Medicare. And they would say, we're charging this person $1 billion for a physical exam, and that will be our charge. And Medicare will say, okay, not so fast. You did a physical exam, that's code number so-and-so, you're going to only be able to collect $150 because $1 billion is not what the Medicare system will pay you. But the doctor knew this going in. So the doctor may have put an inflated dollar figure on the original bill, but it was cut back when it got to Medicare to the allowable, the Medicare allowable amount. So let's suppose that the person has to pay 20% because he's got a high deductible Medicare supplement, and the charge is below the deductible amount, so he's going to have to pay 20%. What he gets in return for that 20% that he has to write a check for is he gets a much lower premium payment. It's his protection costs him much less than the security blanket high or regular plan G would cost. All right, so the charge, the doctor wanted to charge $1 billion. If he were seeing a patient that wasn't on Medicare, he might have charged $200, but he wants to charge this Medicare patient $1 billion, and Medicare says, no, we're going to allow you to charge $150. And so then he's going to say, all right, well, I now can collect 20% that Medicare didn't pay of that $150 from the patient. So he's going to send the patient a bill for 20% of the allowable amount. So 20% of $1 billion, I think that's 200 million or something. That would have been the shocking result if Medicare did not cut back the doctor's fees. But since they were cut back to $150, my friend would get a bill in the mail for $30. And that's 20% of the 150 that the doctor was allowed to charge for the physical exam. And what does he get for that $30? He probably saves upwards of $100 every month by having the high deductible plan G rather than a regular plan G that might cost him $150 a month or thereabouts. It's different for different sexes. It's different in different states. So it's hard to draw a hard and fast conclusion without knowing exactly the age, sex, and so forth of the person we're talking about and location. But the doctor's bill is always going to be cut back to what is Medicare allowable. And the patient will be billed for 20% of the allowable charge, which is pretty much always going to represent a very small portion of his savings that he's had throughout the year. So this is why you'll find me recommending high deductible plan G wherever possible. And the reason for that is because why throw your money away buying more insurance than you need? From age 65 to say age 75, your high deductible plan is going to cost so little in comparison to what the security blanket plan, the full blown plan G would cost, that you could stuff that money away and stuff it under your mattress or in your sock drawer. And if you had a year in which you needed surgery or you had some high medical bills, your expenditure would be limited drastically. In this case, at this time of our lives, it's $2,490 would be the maximum out of pocket he would have to spend. And on a bill of $462,000, that's a pittance. That's a drop. And so my friend is very happy to have his high deductible plan, even though once in a while he's got to write a check for 20%. So Randy's looking at me like, what the heck are you doing, Jones? You had a whole subject you wanted to talk about today, but you started yakking about your friend and now the time's all gone. And I don't blame him for being a little concerned, but it just occurred to me that some people are shocked into doing something that might consider, a lot of us might consider to be a waste of money. And that's buying more insurance than you really need. The downside risk on a high deductible plan is very limited. So for people who are confident that their good health is going to continue into the future, this is an opportunity by taking a high deductible Medicare supplement. It's an opportunity to save a lot of money, sock away those savings, and you will never regret. I sure haven't. It's been like 9 years for me, and I don't regret having a high deductible Medicare supplement plan because the money I've saved has stood me in good stead for the couple of times that I've exceeded my deductible. That limited downside risk and a very small monetary outlay is the name of the game. Why don't you hear about this more often? Because most agents don't want you to know that there is an inexpensive but yet powerful Medicare supplement available, because then their commission earnings are take a big hit in the shorts. And I don't care about that so much. I want to keep my clients happy. So I sell them the least expensive plan that's going to do the job. And even though my earnings are reduced substantially, my relationship with that client is going to be much longer and much happier, I think, over the long haul. So that's my pontification for today, Randy. And I managed to burn up exactly 20 minutes. How did that happen?
I know you did, but I do have one story to add to your discussion there.
Lay it on us.
Okay, so keep in mind, folks, Doug's the expert. I'm not. Okay, but I do have a story to tell you about a real-world experience that I had. Those of you who have been listening to our podcast for a while know that at some point in the past, I don't even remember when it was, earlier this year or late last year, but anyway, the COVID tried to kill me off. So when was it? Earlier this year?
I thought it was a year ago.
Okay.
A year and 2 months ago, something like that.
Yeah, that's probably true. Anyway, long story short is I was in the Shea Honor Health for 2 weeks trying to outrun the COVID.
No, when you say Shea, you mean on Shea Boulevard?
Well, no, Shea as in Shea.
Oh, C-H-E-Z, French.
Yeah, Shea.
House French.
Yeah, hey, House of Honor Health. It was on Shea Boulevard too, after I figured it out, which is a whole nother story.
There you go.
But ultimately, I wanted to tell you all that there's absolutely no reason, if you don't go buy yourself a Medicare supplement plan, you are not thinking clearly today. Wait until tomorrow, drink a cup of coffee and think again, because that that time that the COVID was trying to kill me off, if I remember correctly, it was $260,000+ when COVID was trying to get me. And by the end of the day, with my supplemental plan and a variety of, I have an N, as you know, I have a supplemental
plan N.
I think I had to spend to write a check at some point after that was all settled and the dust came down for $39.
Yeah. Plan N is one that I don't talk about very much, but it's certainly a very valid choice when in the world of Medicare supplements. Plan N imposes a higher monthly premium than high deductible plans that I recommend, but it also gives a deductible per doctor's office visit and per emergency room visit. And so it's a little more complicated to explain. And I generally keep my recommendations to the simple side, either take the very rich, expensive plan or take the very inexpensive, high performing plan. And those are the two choices I talk about. Once in a while, somebody asks me about Plan N and I say, wow, it's a Medicare supplement. So it's going to be better than any other type of Medicare coverage you can get. It's just not one that I talk about much, but it's certainly a valid choice.
The point at the end of the day is do not pass go, do not collect $200. Don't miss getting a Medicare supplement plan purchased and do it through Doug, because one of the things I always say at the end of these podcasts is, by the way, Doug is not only an author, he is an expert insurance agent. So definitely reach out to Doug.
Where do they send their emails?
Oh, they send them to your email box, which is dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can send questions, you can send anything you want, opinions, anything. Doug will answer you no matter what. He runs down to the mailbox every morning like a kid looking for a new toy right before Christmas.
And if their emails are full of invective and insulting, dirty words and so forth about the job we do here, we'll clean them up and make them sound like they're geniuses. So
yes,
that's a little additional service we offer to those of you that are angry and want to express negative opinions. We can make you sound like a genius if you send us that sort of correspondence.
It's called real-time filtering.
Yes.
Well, we have overstayed our money, or basically our time, you know. Yeah, we have to bug out of here because we are out of time. But as always, we have thoroughly enjoyed having you with us, listening to what the expert had to say, and definitely keep notes because he is not kidding. You can do very good things if you follow his guidance. Ultimately, we talked about, you can get the paperback, you can get the audio, you can get the Kindle. But thanks for joining us. At any rate, we are going to sign off right now because we have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy from Oklahoma, watching over the town of Cave Creek with his binoculars from his fortress of solitude up in the mountains, Doug Jones.
Bye-bye.